Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. All Saints' Day is a blessed and holy day, a great festival in the church. While in some circles it might be a day of commemoration of the great saints that have been canonized after several steps or achievements that have been made, the Lutheran Church treats all saints in the scriptural way. A saint is one who believes and is baptized. That St. Paul addresses his epistles, his letters, over and over again to the saints of God at such and such. That living people in the scriptures are called saints. How could St. Paul do that? Didn't he understand that sometime there'd be a grand process so that many today might lead to sainthood? No, he knew what God's word taught. That saints are those who are born again from above of God, given faith in Jesus Christ, faith which receives the promised righteousness and holiness of Christ even now in this life. That Lutherans celebrate All Saints' Day like the Bible does. That is a day for all believers. But as we are a church which constantly remembers the faithfulness of our God, we can also then, in our freedom, remember this day those saints who have gone on before us. Those who have gone on before us, we remember them for their example of their faith, that our faith would be strengthened. For their example of their good works, and for the reminder then again of how our God is so faithful in taking care of us. That no, these people we remember today will not fill volumes in church libraries and books on sainthood. But they hold places near and dear to us in our own memories. Common, ordinary, everyday folks who lived out this earthly life believing in Christ and serving the neighbor. That those names that we will hear in just a few minutes are dear people to some of us, and others may not have known them, but we know for sure they were known by Christ. That we remember as a congregation those who have departed, or rather those who have been transferred from the church militant here on earth to the church triumphant in heaven. They are saints from among us, made holy in the same way that we are made holy by the work of the Spirit who makes holy, applying the finished work of Christ to us by the word of His grace, the word of His forgiveness, that the Spirit making us holy here in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, that He's making us holy through the forgiveness of sins, awaiting on that final day our holy bodies and the resurrection of the dead, and the final reward of Christ's work for us, life everlasting. Our Lord Jesus goes up the mountain. The crowds have gathered and He goes off up the mountain. They follow. The disciples come near to listen and to learn. Two of the greatest good works given to all Christians, to listen to the Word of God and to learn from it. Works which the Spirit of our God does through us each and every time we sit in those pews, just like our departed brothers and sisters did. That what Jesus teaches, He teaches to those who are already believing in Him. That this Sermon on the Mount, which starts in Matthew chapter 5, is meant for you, Christian disciples. It is meant for those who are already washed in the blood of the Lamb, written in the Lamb's book of life, and awaiting from God every blessing that God has promised. That any instruction in righteousness from Jesus about how to live or what kind of way to think is not meant to teach you about how to be saved, but it's meant to teach you that being saved changes you and opens up this whole new life of godliness for you. That good works never earn salvation, but they are the fruit of having salvation. Blessed are those, he says, who are poor in spirit. He says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's you. That all of these you'll see happen in the now, a little bit, and fulfilled finally at the end in their fullness. But here he speaks in the present tense, that whoever believes and is baptized belongs not to the kingdom of this fallen world, but to the kingdom of heaven right now. It's your present tense reality. And that reality then shapes everything about how you view the kingdoms of this world. And he said, blessed are you, that you may not feel blessed at all, especially as our world is getting more and more honest with us as Christians. He says, blessed are those who mourn. This earthly life is filled with all kinds of sorrow, all kinds of loss, that the life to come will not be filled with any loss. As you heard, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That we can't understand all of this because we are so filled and surrounded with losses. But we cling to this promise of Jesus by faith. That we may mourn now, but comfort comes. And at the last, comfort will overwhelm us. He said, blessed are the meek. That here he is not speaking about weakness, but humility. That letting others be higher than you, letting others take the chief spots, taking the disregard of others with a gracious spirit rather than a jealous one. He says, these shall inherit the earth. The humble will be raised. The proud will be brought low, as we heard in the psalm today. That this should guide all of your present life, all of your present actions and thoughts, and how you regard each other and others all around you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That the children of God do not have need to hunger and thirst after the things of this world, because we don't belong to this world. No, our prize, our treasure, is righteousness. And the righteousness of Christ, for that matter, the righteousness of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says that they shall be satisfied. That hunger and thirsting for doing the right thing, that hunger and thirsting for not sinning anymore, that hunger and thirsting that striving against the flesh, guess what? That will be satisfied. Little by little now, the Holy Spirit's urging and doing amongst us, but finally and fully on the last day. That nothing in this life will satisfy like the righteousness of Christ will satisfy. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, those who are full of mercy. Elsewhere, he says, be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. That sure, you may have every single reason and every single right to hold it over on that other person, to tell them, I told you so, or I knew this would happen, or everything else. But is that mercy? It's not. So Christ here reminds us of how we should conduct ourselves when others wrong us. To be merciful. And Jesus promises they shall receive mercy. That being unmerciful is a good way to wreck your faith in Christ, because being unmerciful is a denial of what God has done for you in Christ already. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. That this is impossible in this life. That the human heart, as Jesus says, is full of all sorts of evil, that it is the root of all sorts of evil, and that from it come all sorts of sins. This is why when someone tells you to listen to your heart, to trust what your heart says, do not believe them. but instead listen to the Word. Because the Word alone is true, and alone can guide you in all godliness. That purity of the heart is the product of the Holy Spirit working to crush the sinful nature and nurture that new nature you've been given in your baptism. That it is the working out, following after the steps of the one who indeed was pure in heart, Christ Jesus our Lord, the first fruits of the resurrection. Because that final work of purifying your heart happens when you finally say goodbye to this life. That then the sinful nature finally lets go with death, with its own grip upon you. It finally dies for good. And indeed, as Jesus says, you will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. This is a really hard one for us, for we are a warlike people. Our very culture is established by it, and our interactions with others often breed hostility. Not only does our nation regularly prosecute wars, but we often follow suit in our day-to-day lives amongst those who live around us and maybe disagree with us on politics and everything else. So Christ again reminds us that we are not of this world. That peacemaking, being peacemakers, allows for the gospel to go out. It allows for the word which can make new citizens, not of any earthly nation, but new citizens of the heavenly kingdom. A far greater goal than winning a dispute with your neighbor or crushing our earthly enemies. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That this is not about those who mess up and get the reward of their actions from the world around us. This is about those who have made a practice of righteousness, a practice of godliness, a practice of being above reproach, of conducting themselves in heavenly ways, even while conducting earthly affairs. That Jesus promises that theirs is the kingdom of heaven, which is an indicator that it matches up to the very first, blessed are the poor in spirit. That blessed are you as Christians, even now. That you are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. Being in the kingdom, unlike the kingdoms of this world, will always result in that. Because you are different than them. And your conduct convicts them. Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you for my name's sake, Jesus says. That this is the fact, that this is in the present tense as well as that first one was. That when others mistreat you for being a Christian, you are to count it as an absolute blessing. Jesus' word is being fulfilled. That when they look at your views as a Christian, when they look at your conduct as a Christian, when they look at your views on things, social issues of our day, as being hateful or old-fashioned, ill-informed, outdated, whatever the accusation might be, think of the reward that Jesus has promised toward you. That this world is passing away, and yet the kingdom of heaven never ends. And as he said, great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So many of these things, as you go through the Beatitudes, are promised rewards in the future. They shall. And in that way, we can get a sense of the anticipation of the saints of old that had waited for the good news of great joy for all the people. That we have something to anticipate and be hopeful for as well, something that will come. That these blessings, the comfort, the inheritance, the satisfaction, the mercy, seeing God, being called the sons of God, that these have come true in some small part right now, as 1 John says, and so you are called sons of God, and thus you are. But all of these promises will be coming true fully and finally in God's time at the end of time. But that right now you hold on to this hope of blessing because you are right now in the kingdom of heaven. It certainly can be said that in all of these things, all of these virtues, all of these different things that God's people are supposed to be, that our Lord Jesus Christ is first and foremost the chief example. That he suffered all of what he lists for his own disciples. That he did those things that were righteousness. And he is indeed blessed, just like he said. But being the Christ, he never keeps the blessing for himself. He pours it out upon his own. And that includes you. Those who have gone on before us, they have those blessings that Jesus spoke of now as well. And now, those saints who have departed from us, from among our congregation, do you think the things of this life that troubled them in this life matter to them anymore? Of course they don't. Should that maybe make you think twice about all the things in this life that trouble you and concern you and cause you to worry? Yes, it should. That you belong to the kingdom of heaven, and so many blessings are coming to you, that the present sufferings are nothing by comparison to the glory of what is coming. That you are, as Christ's own disciples, to have this mind amongst yourself, listening, learning from the Word, as his dear children, his dear saints. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.